adventure, romance, mystery is presented to you by this station at this time in the stories especially selected for our audience by Edwin Balmer, the distinguished editor of Red Book magazine. When Editor Balmer selected this mystery story, Hate and 20 Cents, by George F. Wirtz from the current Red Book, he told us that George Wirtz is one of the writers who gets his stories at first hand. He adventured around the world once as a wireless operator, and he knows well both the country town and the metropolis. In Hate and 20 Cents, he tells the story of a city detective who retires and moves to a country village only to stumble upon an extraordinary mystery case which he had to solve. It was hard for a New England village like Cannon Hill to understand why a young man like Lincoln Corey, the Great Eastern detective, should come there to run the country store. Sheriff Judson couldn't understand it.
Don't quite figure how a man like you come to settle in a town like this, Mr. Corey. You got a nice store here and all, but...
Well, Sheriff, did it ever occur to you that I might like this town?
For a young fellow like you, with your big reputation and all, running a country store, why... Say, you ain't aiming to go after my job, are you, young man?
No, Mr. Judson.
You wouldn't fit it anyhow. City crime and country crime's different, a whole lot different. Different methods. You'd be a fish out of water.
Yes, more than likely. But I enjoy Cannon Hill a lot. The green fields and trees, people. It's peaceful and quiet.
Maybe it ain't as pure and honest as you think. Take a look at these two fellas coming into your store now. There's our bad element. Those two coming here give me most of my trouble.
The pair who entered the store weren't so nice looking at that. Both were fat, black-browed, piggy-eyed, mean. The older one wore a wide leather belt with a big brass buckle that had a sharp prong. The younger one carried a fat green parrot on his shoulder. The elder brother dropped a black fist on the counter and demanded...
Are you the new storekeeper, huh?
Yes.
Give me a box of cartridges, 3220, soft nose.
Certainly. What do you want cartridges for, John?
Aiming to get that pack of wild dogs been after our cows.
Not aiming to shoot any deer.
No, we ain't.
Here you are, boys. Here's the shells.
Here's the dollar.
Oh, yes. Well, you got a 20 cents change coming. Just a minute. Ah, there you are. Two dimes.
Huh? Hey, there's something on these here dimes. Look at there.
Oh, that. Oh, well, they're all right, boys. That's purple ink off the post office stamp pad. I got my fingers smeared this morning, and the ink came off the coins and dried. They're good. I'll take them back anytime you want to spend them.
Give them to the boys, Corey. They can put them in the change cup in the cupboard.
Oh, yeah?
Ah, that's a lot of blah. Come on, John.
Well, they look pretty mad when they went out of here. Who are they?
Kelly brothers, John and Bert, a couple of fat, lazy snakes.
Pretty tough looking at that.
Ain't a kid in the township who's not afraid of them, nor a woman either. They live on that old run-down farm down the road by the swamp.
I see. Does Bert Galley always carry that parrot?
Wherever he goes. Says he got it over at the Danbury Fair, but he stole it most likely.
Why don't you get rid of them, Sheriff?
They've done plenty of crimes around, but I can't get the goods on them.
I see. What made them so peeved when you kidded about those dimes?
Peeved? That was hate. When they was kids, 20 cents was stolen out of their dad's change cup in the cupboard. Their old man was one of those stern, righteous New Englanders. He accused them both.
What happened then?
Neither owned up. The dad beat them both raw with a bull whip. Each said the other one did it. That was 20 years ago, and they hate each other yet.
And yet they live together on that farm, huh?
Farm a little and steal a lot. Sell Applejack and get drunk and fight. The whole township's afraid of them. I'd give most anything I got to get rid of those galley boys, but I can't get nothing on them.
I see. You ought to get that parrot to talk. He'd probably give you enough clues to send him up the river for life.
It ain't so all-fired easy as you think, Corey. You've been dealing with city crime. You'll find it different out here. Well, guess I better be going. Oh, say, here comes young Mathilde Fife in the trade.
Oh, really? Well, goodbye, Sheriff. Drop in again.
Goodbye.
How do you do?
How do you do?
You're Lincoln Corey, the new storekeeper, aren't you?
Yes, right. And you're Miss Fife. I watched you drive by yesterday.
And you asked the Hitching Post Brigade who I was?
Right again. And they told me that you were the nicest looking girl in town. And I believe it.
Well, I'd like a loaf of bread and...
Oh, good. You know, I hoped you'd be a customer, Miss Fife. Everybody else seems to drive over to Northtown to trade.
That's just like a small town. I suppose they think you're an intruder or something. I hope you make a go of it here.
Thank you. So do I.
I just saw Bill Judson out in front. I suppose he's been in here telling you you'd have a hard time.
Well, he did sort of hint at it. And things have been quiet. The only customers today were the galleys and...
Those ruffianly brothers.
Hmm.
Oh, the people here make me tired sometimes. They think everybody from the city is a slicker or a fool. You'll have to do something to show them, Mr. Corey.
Yes, well, thanks for the tip. I'm sure I'm going to like Cannon Hill.
It's a nice town, really it is. Except for those wretched galley brothers. Well, I guess I'll have to be going. Oh, it looks as though it were going to rain. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and come again.
I will, and good luck.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
10 o'clock. Well, I guess there'll be no customers tonight in this downpour. Might as well shut up shop and turn in. Well, by George, here's a customer anyway. Why, it's the sheriff again. Oh, hello, Sheriff Judson.
Oh, hello, Corey. Glad to find you in. I got something may interest you.
Yes, what's up?
John Galley's dead.
Well, that is something.
Yep. Bert just called me on the phone and asked me to come right out to the farm. Bert says John got drowned in the swamp bog, back of the barn.
Huh. Bert was the younger one, wasn't he? The one who carried the parrot.
That's him. It was John who got drowned.
I see. Well, then you've got one of your wishes.
Well, how do you mean?
Why, you said you wish you could get rid of both of them.
Hmm.
If this was murder and you can prove it, you'd have them both.
I reckon so, and I dropped in to ask if you'd go along. Maybe you'd like to see how a Hicktown detective works.
Why, sure. Sure I would. I'll be right with you.
Here's the galley place. We'll leave the car and walk over to the house. Here's a flashlight for you. Oh, dang this rain.
Wait a minute, Sheriff. Looks like someone dug a little hole in the ground over there by that tree. There's a spade full of fresh turned dirt. See it?
Get yourself all mud on this patch. There's Bert coming to the door with a lantern.
Here's your car stopping on the road, Sheriff. Come on in the kitchen. Kind of gloomy alone by myself here. I'm right glad you come.
Hello, Bert.
Here you are. Here. Sit down.
Wait a minute, Bert. First, tell us just what happened to John, and tell the truth.
Nothing to tell, Sheriff. Poor John. We was eating supper, and we heard a calf bellowing down by the bog long about 7. Just turned dark, real dark. John says, that must be our heifer got into the bog. He jumps up, and he runs out the house.
With a lantern?
No, just run out. A few minutes later, I hear the calf stop bellowing. Then I hear John holler. I says to myself, John's fell into the bog and run out. His tracks go down to the bog, and so do the calves.
Now, hold on a minute. Did you have a lantern?
I have a flashlight. When I got to the bog, all I see is bubbles. John must have been sucked right down. He run right into it and got sucked down like quicksand. They say there ain't no bottom to that bog. It's a fierce, ain't it?
It's bad, all right. Had you and John been fighting? Now tell the truth, Bert.
Of course not. Terrible, ain't it? That John should get drowned trying to save a calf.
Bert, is that your rifle over the stove?
Yeah.
It looks nice and clean.
Yeah, that's mine. Why wouldn't it be clean? Only way to treat a gun.
And are these your cartridges in this box on the shelf here? I just want to have a look at them.
What are you doing anyway?
Oh, just curious. I never saw a 32-20 before.
Now listen, Bert. How long after you heard John hollering did you run out of the house?
Right away. I jumped up and run.
Did you get a sight of him?
All I saw was them bubbles rising to the surface. It was terrible.
You're a lying to me, Bert Galley.
No, I ain't, Sheriff. Honest, I ain't.
Well, by criminy, there ain't no use standing here. We'll go out to that bog and take a look. Come on, Bert.
Okay.
You coming, Corey?
No. You go ahead, Sheriff. I'll wait till you come back. Now then, I'll just have a look around this kitchen. I wonder where that parrot is. Here's a green feather right by this chair. Little spot of blood on it, too. That's funny.
It was funny. Link prowled about the kitchen, sharp-eyed. Clues? A dark spot on the floor near the rocker, another one by the sofa, a scratch across the wood, and there on the wall, the old man's bullwhip. Link reached for the leather thong. Wait, a metallic gleam under the table. 2 dimes.
Ah, here we are. By George, they hated each other. Hate and 20 cents.
All right, Bert. You can set yourself in a chair.
All right.
Well, Corey, I took a look around, and it's like Bert says.
Of course it's like I says.
You saw the tracks, Sheriff?
They was there, all right. John's tracks going straight into the bog. Then that heifer's tracks. Then Bert's footprints where he went down to the edge of the swamp and come back. There was bubbles rising to the surface of the water.
Bubbles, huh? Great Scott.
But that don't mean nothing. These swamp bogs are always stewing and working like.
Sure they are. Well, that's that. Say, there's some applejack here. You fellas like a drink before you start back?
Might as well.
Just a second, Sheriff. Can I see that revolver of yours?
Sure thing. Here she is. You want to try her out?
Yes. I'd like to try her out on Bert Galley if he doesn't stand where he is.
What?
Hold up, Bert. Put him up. The hands, quick.
What in thunderation you trying to do?
Hey, what's this, Corey?
I don't move, Bert. You turn again like that and I'll shoot.
Oh, you're crazy. Hey, Sheriff, tell that guy...
Now, listen, Bert. You said your brother ran out of the house in the dark and floundered into this bog behind your barn.
Yeah.
That's a laugh. He lived right here by this bog all the time. It seems sort of queer he'd run into it by accident knowing where it was.
Well, that's what he done, I tell you.
All right. Where's your parrot?
Flew away. Often flies away. Always flies back.
Well, he won't fly back this time, Bert. Listen, Sheriff. The parrot is dead. Here's a parrot feather with blood on it. And Bert here killed his brother.
It's a lie,
what's that you say?
I think I can tell you what happened here tonight. Bert and John started fighting in this kitchen. Quarreled over 20 cents. Take off that shirt, Bert Galley.
What do you mean?
Take it off if you want it.
Yes, yes, quick, quick.
Why, the man's all red with welts.
Sure, sure he is. John was lashing Bert with his bullwhip. Here, see these gray threads? They're off Bert's shirt. And then the parrot flew at John. John struck the parrot with a whip and killed him. Bert snatched the rifle off the wall.
Hey, how do you know?
There's an old cartridge in that box of new ones. Bert fired the shot, emptied and cleaned the gun, replaced the missing shell with an old one. And he killed John.
It was killing me! It was killing me! Murdering me! I fired something the first
time. Oh, no, you didn't. First you struck him with a gun butt. He went down, over by that rocking chair. There's the place over there where you washed the floor. Then he dragged himself over to the sofa. And you shot him in the back. There's that spot that was scrubbed over there.
It's a lie! A lie! A lie!
Oh, no, it isn't. And that wasn't self-defense, shooting him after you'd smashed him in the head. And a man in self-defense doesn't try to hide the body. First, you try to dig a grave out by that tree. You spaded it a little and knew it would take too long.
Well, by George.
And then you thought of the bog, didn't you, Bert? You dragged your brother to the door. There's the scratch made by his belt buckle. I'd say that you loaded your brother's body on the calf, walked him down to the bog, and threw John in. And then you phoned the sheriff.
Well, we've got him, Corey. By criminy, we've got a clean-cut case. Bert, hold out your hand.
And so, Miss Fife, I think the jury will send him up for murder. Second degree, anyway.
Oh, you were wonderful. It was your work that did it all. Everyone in town will be coming to your store now.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Miss Fife, everyone in town came in the morning you walked in.
Red Book Magazine gave us special permission to broadcast this mystery story, Hate and 20 Cents, written by George F. Wirtz. Next week at this time, we take pleasure in announcing that we will present another story in dramatic form from Red Book.